Because in the same spiritual reality that you and I live, that's the post-Jesus ascension, post-Spirit at Pentecost spiritual reality, one of the greatest writers of the New Testament is telling a church community that if they don't get it right, that some of them will feel ill, become weary, and others will die. And if that's a little bit too intense for you, or a little bit too hocus-pocus or first-century mysticism, I want to tell you about some research that was done in 2011. In their book, The Spirit Level, Richard Wilkinson and Kate Pickett undertook this massive research effort to just explore quality of life as it relates to kind of economic success. And they found a whole lot of incredible things, but perhaps one of the most startling things that they found is that in countries where the gap between rich and poor is wider, lower is the life expectancy of the rich. I'll say that again. In countries where the gap between rich and poor is wider, lower is the life expectancy of the rich. Something about the way that God has made us as human beings is that we thrive together. That the community of God that he had in mind when he first created the world is one of humanity coming together in lordship to him and thriving together. If you want to check that research out, it's called The Spirit Level, and I honestly can't recommend it enough. It's really staggering, but here's Paul 2,000 years earlier outlining that very same thing for the Corinthian church. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, I already said that mammon in the scripture here is not some sort of Near Eastern god of wealth or a demon or even a spiritual force. It just means wealth. Unrighteous wealth is assumed, as I said, in the language. But in our world today, we don't have to look far to find the unrighteous use of wealth. We've got billionaires racing to Mars, while thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people die, starve and die and go without every day. Our world is a get what you can get while the getting is good kind of world, right? That's the world we live in. That's why this world isn't, we're not of this world, but we are in it. You might have heard the, like, you got to make 100K, you got to buy the house, buy the cars, the clothes, the stuff. There's a film called Keeping Up with the Johnsons, I believe, and it's about this these people that are employed to go and live in a community, and they're given all the best stuff, and it's a marketing ploy. And these people go in this community, and they use these products, and they have to sell them. They have to convince this community, like really subtly and like covertly, to use and buy these products. It's wild. It's a crazy film. But that's the kind of world we live in, a materialistic get-what-you-can-get kind of world. And generosity is the gift that God has given us, the weapon that we can yield against that world. So that world doesn't get in us. So that way of doing things doesn't inhabit our heart. See, when we face down that kind of world, when we look at our money and our things and we go, you know what, stuff, I actually don't need all of you because you're not mine. You're the Lord's. So I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do that with you and that with you and that with you, and I'll live simply. When we give away what we don't need, when we walk with God intentionally and willfully and prayerfully with that kind of stuff, totally changes the game for us. You see, God doesn't care if you have stuff. He doesn't. But he does care if stuff has you. We see that in the story of the rich young ruler. Some of us may remember this from the Gospels, but a rich man comes to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, follow the law of Moses and honor your mother and father. He said, I've done that. Now, it's weird that he says, I've done that, right? It's weird that he even comes to Jesus if he's already done that. So what's going on here? Why would he even come to Jesus if he's already done that thing? And why wouldn't he just say, oh, great, and walk off because I've done it. Happy days. I've inherited the kingdom of God. And I wonder if it's because there's some sort of righteous or holy discomfort in him about that not being enough. And I think that's probably it, because Jesus looks at him and almost goes, ah, I see. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. Jesus knew that this guy's stuff had him. But remember, it's not our stuff. This guy had forgotten that. He had forgotten that he was God's steward here on earth. And generosity is the gift that we use to remind us of that fact. That as we're generous, we are grown in our desire to be generous. It's like the way the world does, the stuff the world does with money, it twists up in our heart and has risks like clawing at us and getting in there. Generosity is the thing that just takes the edge off. It replaces any perhaps anxiety or fear or frustration or reluctance with the peace of God. I thought it was beautiful that we sang that story with the kids this morning, that the greatest treasure is peace, the peace of God. And what a beautiful thing. I wonder how often we've sat and gone, man, Jesus, I know that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, but man, I'm under pressure right now. Like, man, this stuff's all up in me. What do I do about this? To the rich young ruler, he says, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now, that's not what he's saying to you. It's not. It's not what I'm saying to you today. Because he's gone to you, here's generosity. Take that thing. And just start to play with it and just watch what I do in your heart and your life. After I got this message from my friend, I started like seeing all of my stuff in a bit of a different light. Like, I don't really use that thing. I haven't pulled out the Warhammer in a little while. I could probably give that away. I've got two computers. I probably don't need two computers. What could I do with the other one? I didn't voice any of these thoughts, especially not to my wife, but I have noticed that I'm thinking them, right? I'm going, what else can I do that's generous? How else could I do this thing? And like, we don't have a lot, right? We're a single income ministry wage family, right? With a kid and another on the way. We don't have heaps. But I'm going, oh, how do I give more of this kind of stuff? But I also can see the times in my life when I've gone, I need to keep that. Like, I need that thing or that money or that whatever. And this is much more fun. But it's got to be responsible. It's got to be intentional. It's got to be willing. And it's got to be prayerful. The other thing, the last thing that I want us to kind of land on today is that generosity grows the kingdom of God. As it grows us up in righteousness, that is our capacity to order our whole lives before God, the kingdom of God is expanded. But it also grows the kingdom of God in others. And I think that's why Paul is so hard on the Corinthians here. Because he knows if they can kick this money thing, a lot of their problems will just fall into place. Like, it'll be easier for you to lovingly yield in worship if you're not twisted up about money. It'll be easier for you to sit with presence in people's grief or joy or pain or elation if you're not twisted up about money. I think God is going, like, if you can get this, Corinthian church, like, you're going to be okay. Now, let's have a look here at what Paul says. He says in verse 12 that this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people. So the thing you do isn't just meeting a need, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. See, Paul's saying, give to them and give to everyone else when you can. He goes on to say, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you. They'll not only pray for you, but they'll be deeply moved with compassion and love for you in their prayers because of the surpassing grace God has given you. God's doing a work in you. You're blessing the nations, the people, the community, a friend, someone you don't know. And then they are being blessed and in return blessing you in prayer. There's this kind of thing happening here as God grows us in righteousness and grace. Others are grown in righteousness and grace. And their love for us is deepened, which causes them to pray that we would continue to grow in righteousness and grace. Like, what a beautiful, beautiful thing. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, his surpassing grace. Something's happening in us. It's happening in other people. It grows up in us. It grows up in other people. What I love about this is Paul isn't saying that it's just the good thing you do or just because you believe in Jesus. Instead, he's conflating them. He's saying that people will praise God both for you and your obedience to ordering your money and possessions, to stewarding the stuff God has trusted you with in the way that he would call you to, that is generously, because of your confession of the gospel of Jesus. He's saying people will praise God because of what you say you believe and what you do because of that. Generosity is the thing we do because of that. It's what we do about what we say we believe. It's almost as though we can't have one without the other. So I got this other message from my friend, the dad. That was the nature of our conversation on the way home. I'm not sure if you're 100% on the camera, but buddy, if you are, you may have just been responsible for the spark that lit the flame that starts the fire. What an incredible text message to receive. What a beautiful thing to be partnering with God in. To just give a kid a camera that I haven't touched in 2.5 years. Generosity is a practical thing. It allows the gospel of grace to be shared openly and often. It allows the poor to be ministered to all over the world. It allows good works that God's prepared beforehand to be released by his people. That's us here on earth. And sometimes it might just be the spark that starts the fire in a young man's life. But we'll never know that unless we try it. So what now? What do we do about all of that? Well, I've got a bit of a beginner's guide to generosity that I'll just be like, this is what I did, and that's really cool. This is what we see in the scripture. We're going to be intentional, right? Paul goes, "What? Everyone give what they've decided to give." And in order to give and decide, it's almost like Paul's saying here, like to give what you've decided to give and reconciled with God to give, you need to know what you're giving. You need to know what you're holding. Like I knew I had a camera that I didn't use for a long time. I don't really know if I can responsibly give money to these kids to be in school. I got to press it. I'm going to see where can I cut expending. So I pray about this. Can I bring someone else involved? Like, that's I've got to be more intentional about that decision, right? So be intentional. And then we've got to be willing. It's all well and good if I can give a camera to a young lad or I can give some money over here to do this thing, but if I'm going to be embittered about it, if I'm going to be frustrated by it, like way beyond my comfort zone, like I think it's good to get to the edge and maybe like get a little bit like, oh, I'm growing. But if I'm too embittered, I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to be able to receive the joy that God has given me. If I needed that camera for work or something, and that's the only one I had and I didn't have money to replace it, maybe that message would have hit different. Maybe I would have been like, yeah, well, that's great, but I don't know how I'm going to earn money now because I'm a photographer. So we've got to be willing. So we go, all right, now that I know what I could give, what will I actually realistically give and remain cheerful? And then we be prayerful. So we pray that God will continue to grow us up in that, that as we give and as we push ourselves into that place, that God will encourage us and give us more opportunity to continue to do it. And that's it. That's what I've learned in the last 2.5 weeks about generosity. I hope it's been encouraging for you. And I would really love to pray for us now. And just ask God in your heart of hearts, God, how can I be generous this week? What is it that you might be calling me to? What do I have? How do I be intentional? How do I remain willing? And how might you call me to pray? So pray with me now. Holy God, thank you for the good gift of grace that you've given us, that we are generous with the things that you trust us with because you've given us your Son, Jesus.